Well, good evening. It's good to be back. Good to see everyone. Hello. Out there in Cyberland, ever how that works. Amen. We're in the Gospel of Mark. Genesis, Exodus, Mark. Well, there's a few more in there, but you'll figure it out. Mark chapter number 4. Here we are starting the missions conference. Hallelujah for missions conference. I believe it's biblical and they're fun. Amen. And praise God, brother. 56 on deputation. Welcome to the road. Amen. Won't be too long. Y'all going to have some stories to tell. Amen. When I first started evangelism, I thought, boy, this is going to be good. We're going to get stories. Now we have stories. At the end of the story, though, it always ends the same way. God is faithful. Absolutely. Well, I don't want to take a bunch of time with this kind of thing. We're in fellowship before or after or at supper or whatever. But let's get into this. As we do, here we are at this local assembly. And I'm local church, so I'll guarantee you that, okay? And that's God's plan for this age, is to reach the world in, through, and out of local churches, okay? So here we are with this week, this assembly, seeking God's face, saying, Lord, what will you have me to give for missions? And as we travel, there's a few things we face. I may mention some of that through the message. But I'm praying that tonight, obviously, that the lost would be saved. Anybody lost? You want to get saved right now? We can do it. I mean, amen. Well, we can't. God does the saving. You know what I mean. Okay. And if you're saved, I'm praying that the sweet Holy Ghost shows up and encourages His saints tonight and begin to plant the seeds of this idea. Lord, what do you want me to do for missions in this coming season for this assembly? Amen. So we're Mark chapter 4, if you can or able. Stand with me, please, as we honor God's Word. Now, this poor brother had to do 2 years Greek, 1 year Hebrew. I'm glad he made it through it. But aren't you glad God preserved His Word for us in English? Amen. And we hold it in our hand tonight, the old-fashioned King James Bible. Amen. And we can trust it with our soul for eternity, and we can trust it with the problems of today. Amen. All right, well, we can get started then. In chapter 4, we're going to jump in verse 35. The context is dealing with Jesus, so I'm going to use His name in place of the pronoun. Verse 35. And the same day, when the even was come, Jesus saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took Him, even as He was in the ship. And there were also with Him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake Him, and say unto Him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And He arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And He said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Let's pray right there. Father, here we are. You know, I'm excited about this. We pray you show up and take over. We pray for the lost to be saved, the saints to be encouraged, and we ask that the Spirit of God, there's Holy Spirit, use thy word to do thy work in our hearts for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, God helping us tonight, we're going to take a look at this historical event. In other words, this isn't just a Bible story, because this really happened. So it being really happened makes it a historical event that God's recorded for us and preserved it in His word for us tonight to enjoy, to see what it is we can learn. And as a little bit of background to get us going, the same account is recorded for us in Matthew chapter 8 and in Luke chapter 8 and in our text tonight in Mark chapter 4. To kind of summarize these events leading up to this night, we find that Jesus was demonstrating his power over leprosy. He was dealing with the leper, if you remember, who stated, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." Jesus put forth his hand and said, "I will, be thou clean." Amen. He heals the centurion's servant. He is on his way to his house to heal the centurion's servant, and he sent another servant and said, wait, Lord, I'm not worthy for you to come under my house. I'm a man under authority as well. Just say the word and it's done." And in fact, Jesus marveled at his faith and said, "I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel." Later in the afternoon, they show up at Peter's house. Jesus heals Peter's mother-in-law. That means Peter had a wife. It's a package deal. Amen. You get a wife, you get a mother-in-law. It's a wonderful thing. Amen. Anyway, the point is, he's not the first pope, okay? Anyways, later in the afternoon, they brought folks to him, and he cast out many devils, and it said in the passage that he did that with his word. Folks, there is power in the word of God. And in fact, the fulfillment of Isaiah 53:4, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. And in fact, the scribe came and said, "Master, I'll follow thee whithersoever thou goest." And Jesus began to explain to him that there's a cost for following the Lord. He said, "The birds there have their nests, and the foxes have their dens, but the Son of Man doesn't have anywhere to lay their head, lay his head." And then here come the excuses. Blah, 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 blah. And you say, "Well, what are the excuses?" Well, there aren't any good excuses for not following the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. They were more interested in seeing his power than they were in following him. Okay? So, while we're on the subject, I personally believe that the days of half-hearted, lackadaisical, comfortable Christianity are coming to a close. Yes, sir. The days of casual Christianity is over. It is high time for you and I to awake out of sleep and serve our soon-coming Lord. Amen. In Luke, we find him preaching about the sower, and he taught many things about parables and his doctrine. And by the way, doctrine is still important, yea, even in these last days. Amen. In Matthew 8, verse 18, Jesus gives the commandment to depart unto the other side. Back to our text here in verse 35. Look at it with me. "And the same day, when even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side." Church, I want to remind you right here that there is a principle that is throughout the Word of God. With the command comes the, anybody know? The enabling. With the command comes the enabling. Now, I know he gave the command to go get in the boat and go to the other side. They went down, climbed in the boat, and set sail. Seems relatively easy at this point, I give you that. But as we get more into this event, you're going to see where it's the grace of God. Okay? And that to me encourages me because the world that we live in seems to be spiraling out of control. From the pandemic to political unrest, however, with God's enabling grace, we can still serve Him today. The call of God is without repentance. His call on your life has not changed. The Great Commission has not been revoked. Amen. Here we are with a missions conference. God has not changed His plan. He hasn't changed His marching orders. We remember the quotes from Mark 16:15, and Jesus said unto them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Amen. And then, of course, every missions conference favorite verse, Matthew 28:19. Amen. I mean, that's like the staple, isn't it? There it says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. Jesus gave the command With the command comes the enabling. Back to our account tonight. Jesus gave the command, let us pass over into the other side. We've already read a verse in verse 35. They sent away the multitude, and this is the part where this starts getting real good. He said, let us, we are co-laborers with Christ. Hallelujah, folks. We are not in this thing alone. Amen. The Lord is, he said, lo, we already read that. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. We have a verse in Hebrews 13:5. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things. He said, for he hath said, I will never leave thee, finish it with me, nor forsake thee. See, these are our promises. Brother John in his gospel told us that without him, we can do nothing. One brother put it like this, without him we can do no thing. I agree with that. Without him we can't do anything. And these men, by the way, they're his men. The ones in the boat with him. Okay, you're not getting this. They're not Joe Schmo down here on the street corner to give a flip about God. Oh, no, no, no. These are his men, the apostles. These are his men, the disciples. And they're obeying the will of God. He said, get in a boat, go to the other side. They're in the boat together. That means they are in the will of God. Folks, I love how relevant the Word of God is. Amen? And God made it easy for us preachers. Because the Word of God's already relevant. All we have to do is just expose it. There it is. So it's already, I don't have to make it relevant. It is relevant. So, and I love the relevancy of the Scripture. So these are his men in the boat with him. You might say they're all in the same boat. Anyway, I thought it was funny. And the point is, hey, we're all in this together. And the Lord's with us. Not only about you, but that's encouraging to me. Amen? And if you're not in the boat, so to speak, to use the analogy, you need to get saved. Get saved, get in the boat. Amen? Amen. So just because somebody's saved does not mean that he will not go through any storms in life. Because here they are in the will of God, obeying the command of God, co-laboring with Christ, and then the storm hits. And number two is the storm seems to be in the way. Look at verse number 37. Verse number 37 says, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. Folks, we're taking on some water these last couple of years, haven't we? Yeah, amen. Brother Peter said in 4:12, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Now, I know from passing that length of time, and the other pastors are still friends that I talk to right now, that honestly, we're in some new waters for us. We're in strange territory for us. But our Baptist fathers from the past, they were no stranger to persecution. Folks, you need to know your heritage. I almost said history, but the difference between history and heritage, history is history, but heritage belongs to you. This is our heritage. We need to know where we came from, amen? It's not strange to them. Think back with me, if you will, pre-COVID. Don't you hate having to say that? How many remember pre-COVID, before COVID showed up? Okay, four of us, good. And anyway... Before this storm of wind hit us, it was the year 2020. Now, for an evangelist, that was a super cool year because 2020 and all the pastors had like these unique themes for the year, like refocus and focus and 2020 vision. And I mean, everybody was pumped up and man, we're going to do it this year and we're going to kick up our door knocking program and we're going to do some more outreach this year. It's like, we're going to do this. That was the attitude. The churches we were in, man, they were ready to go. And then the storm hit. Wow. And this storm here in our Bible, tonight, I read one brother said that he thought that the devil sent this storm. Well, he says that because of how the phrase is, how the Lord rebukes the storm. It's the same phraseology in another place, how he rebukes the devil. So I can give him that. I don't know. But I know one thing. The devil can hinder the work of God. And the devil can hinder the servants of God. Now, I don't want to give him a whole lot of credit because he's defeated. In other words, he got defeated 2,000 years ago, and we celebrated his defeat last Sunday. Amen. The Resurrection Sunday. The Lord doesn't put him. In other words, we're fighting for or from victory, not for victory. So we need to keep that in our mind. But the point still is that even Brother Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 2:18, wherefore we would have come unto you, we, Paul, him, and the gang, okay? Even I, Paul, once and again. So in other words, this happened more than once. It happened once and it happened again, so at least twice. But more than likely, from context, I would say multiple times. And let me just read you the verse. Wherefore, we have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. Amen? Now, pick mine. The boat I have in my mind is probably from the piano to the organ. It's probably from the front of the pulpit to maybe about right here. If you don't like this boat, get your own boat. This is my boat. This is my story, okay? And I'm being maybe 4 or 5 feet deep. But the boat is very clear that says that this boat is full. I ask you, church, if the boat is full of water, what happens to the boat? It sinks. I agree with you. All right, stay with me. So if Satan fills your boat with water and your boat sinks, would you agree that that would hinder you from getting the job done? I believe it would. Can you picture in your mind, brethren over here, I mean, they're looking sharp, got their slick haircuts and everything, and down their long, holy noses, like, man, where is that brother at? He's always, I am just going off on him. And then finally, your brother, whose boat sank, finally washes up to the shore, soaked completely through every stitch. By now, he's probably frustrated, being angry. Okay, well, I would be. And I'm tired, okay? And I might be able to swim, but I can't swim 200 or 300 yards or whatever how far this boat was out. So he gets up there, he's out of breath, he's tired, he's fatigued, and these brothers are going off, and he's like, well, my boat sank, okay? Well, I thought that was funny too, but the thing is, if your boat sinks, it's going to hinder you from getting the job done. Amen? Well, is your boat sinking? You know, we need to be careful. This is number 3. Be careful of the fiery darts when your boat is full of water and starting to sink. I know it's a long point. Most of mine are, and none of mine line up with the letters all cute like some guys do. I'm glad they can, but I don't. Okay. So be careful of the fiery darts of the devil when your boat is sinking. Now, what circumstances are hindering you tonight, right now? He already mentioned it's been 3 years since you've had a mission conference. Why? Your boat's been full. Okay. I'm not being down on anybody. Life has happened. Right? So, when you're going through circumstances and you're being hindered from what God's called you to do, stay with me. Folks, this is when the devil launches an all-out attack. Sure it is. He begins to send in his fiery darts. And I believe the first one we see him sending in is, what is it? Confusion. Well, you and I both know that God's not the author of confusion. So it's like, Lord, we're trying to serve you. We have big plans for 2020, and we're doing outreach. We're going to have some programs. We're going to have a couple of outreach dinners, and we're getting some stuff together to hit the doors. And man, woohoo! And this, was anybody else confused besides me? Like, what is going on? You know what I'm saying? And then who would have thought that this thing would have shut our churches down or shut our nursing home ministries down? Do you realize those dear folks at that chapter of their life, some of them aren't long for this world? And if they've never repented their sin, put their faith in Jesus, they're lost. And somebody needs to tell them. And folks, I tell you what, we need in the nursing home because they need somebody to preach to them Jesus. Amen? And I know it's for myself. I hope I don't ever wind up in one of those places. But the fact of the matter is, life happens. And I may enter that chapter in my life one day, not necessarily by choice. I mean, it just happened. You know what I'm saying? And I've been in church like since 16. And now God lets us be in church nearly every night of our life. And we're having a time of our life. And then one day I'm stuck in a home and can't go. Do you know how bad I'm going to miss church? I would love for some whippersnapper to come in there, cut his teeth on the nursing home ministry, you know, because it's kind of what happens. And here's somebody preach me Jesus again. I'd sure be hungry to hear it, wouldn't you? And then the jail ministries, folks, they're not in there for winning Sunday school contests. I'm not being mean, but somebody needs to preach them Jesus. Otherwise, they're going to die and go to hell. And listen, and sometimes a Christian goes to jail. You say they do? Yeah, it's called chastisement. God's using the jailhouse to put the whooping on them. It's called spanking. Amen. And in fact, they need somebody to come in and preach them Jesus and preach about the prodigal and preach about the way back to the cross so they can get their life back together. Amen. It's just these last 2 months, finally, brother, we're able to finally get back in the nursing home. And our jail was closed last year more than it was open. We're finally just now getting back in. And those of you who know my son, he's at home right now helping mom and dad because of the hip situation. Works during the day, but during the weekend, he's involved in our home church. Preaches in the nursing home, and he preaches in the jails. Thank God for that. Amen? Well, confusion, right behind confusion, the fiery dart of fear. The one thing I've seen on the road in the last 2 years has been fear. It's everywhere. And I have to admit, I've been scared a couple of times. I mean, this is bad. They portray, in fact, I quit watching news. You want to get depressed, just watch the news for an hour. Hey, man, if you're really having a great day and things are going good and you want to kind of like bum out, just watch the news. You'll hit bottom in about 15 minutes. You know what I'm saying, amen? Well, the fear, man, this is bad. This pandemic is causing a supply chain problem. There's going to be a famine and we're all going to starve to death. And then they have all these mandates where you got to wear a stupid mask or take the jab or lose your job. And everywhere you're at, I realize there's free conscience there. You do what the Lord tells you to do, okay? I'm not here judging. I'm just saying this out of control. Amen? So our country's in a political mess. No matter what side of the aisle you're on, from the conspiracies of what might happen or has happened or going to happen. And then there's not time to get ready. And then if you did have time to get ready, you don't have the money to get ready with. I mean, you're like, I'm scared to death. Have you not sensed that around? If you haven't seen that, you're probably blind because it's everywhere. Sadly, even in the house of God. So you have the confusion and the fear, right? The kind of, what was that one? Doubt. Oh, yeah. I'm not going to make it. Can we trust God on this one? Hey, a friend of mine, he's a Christian. His brother-in-law's not. And his brother-in-law's mocking him because he says, you Christians don't believe in science. What? Yes, we do. But let me tell you how we look at it. This King James Bible is the sole authority for our faith and practice in all that we do and believe. Amen? And if what they're calling science lines up with this, we're good with it. But if what they're calling science a bunch of hog fat, Folks, I don't believe in science, falsely so called. The Word of God makes the decision in our lives. Amen? We need to stay focused on who we are and what we are, and we're men and women of the book. Amen? That's why they call us Baptists. Amen? Well, right after doubt comes, worry. Oh, we get to worrying. I don't know what we're going to do. Then I start worrying about worrying. Oh, and how am I going to take care of myself? Can I remind you, first off, that God said He would? Can I remind you of verses like Matthew 6:33? It says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." If you look at that context, those are your needs. God knows what you have need of before you even ask Him. You just keep on serving Him. Amen? And then I remembered, I love the Old Testament narratives. And you have one of my heroes named Elijah. How many like Elijah? Isn't he like the coolest guy? So here he is. He had the guts to get in the king's face. I like that part too. And anyway, God hides him. And He hides him over by the brook. And you know how He feeds him? Hey, this is before DoorDash and Uber Eats. But you know how He fed him? Raven Express. Amen? So God took care of him. Then God, in His infinite wisdom, dries the brook up. And He had His eye on a widow lady over here that He wanted to show Himself strong to. So He sent His preacher man over to the widow lady, and she was about to fix her last biscuit and kick the bucket. In Hebrew, that means she's going to die. Okay? So He said, "Go ahead and fix the biscuit, but give it to me first." There's a God first principle, okay? And anyway, how many are familiar with this account? So I don't have to go into, okay? Did her bucket of meal ever run empty? No way. Did her cruse of oil ever dry up? No way. It happened just like God said it was. And you know what I hear, brother? Supernatural. Has God changed? Do you realize that if God has to get involved in our personal lives in a supernatural way to take care of us, He still can? He still will? He's still God. Our God's big. Amen? I don't know about you, brother, but that encourages me. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. Well, I think you all understand the confusion, the doubt, the worry, the fear. But here's probably the one that insults God the most. And the devil's really good at this. And I'm not going to pick on anyone here or down anybody here, nor am I going to down his men. So this isn't just Joe Smoes. This is his disciples. These are the apostles. With me? And if you're saved tonight, we are his children. We are his people. Stay with me, okay? But sometimes when the boat's full and we feel like we're starting to sink, the devil will come up and he'll launch his biggest one. This is his 50 BMG, amen, brother? I mean, here, you know what it was? He gets us to question whether God even cares or not. I'm not making it up. It's in the text. Let me show you. It's right here. Did he not say in verse number, let me see where we're at here. Verse number 38. Look at it with me, please. "And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on the pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish?" Did you see his apostles questioning the very fact if he even cares or not? Oh, folks, I don't know if you've been there or not. I don't know if you're close to there or not. But I want to remind you the devil's a liar. Anytime he shows up to try to get you to question whether or not God lies or cares about you, you can just rebuke him in the name of Jesus, amen, and say, "My Bible tells me the Lord loves me, and He proved it to me on Mount Calvary, and there's nothing you can do or say to change my mind on that." And the fact of the matter is, he's a liar, the devil's a liar, and he's a liar from the beginning. Amen? Jesus wasn't worried about this, folks. He's in the back of the boat asleep on a pillow. Remember my boat? Now, it says he is in the boat in the back or asleep on a pillow. I personally believe he is on the bottom of the boat because the boat's full of water. He could, because he's God. I just don't think it happened that way. So I picture in the back of the boat, there's a bench. He's laying on the bench, on a pillow, and the waves are just tossing this thing back and forth and splashing into the boat and filling the boat with water. So here's Jesus in the back of the boat, you know, splash, 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 sleeping away. He really looks worried, doesn't he? So they come to him screaming like a bunch of high school girls going, "Master, Master, change the Master, we perish." Well, friends, verse 39, look at it. "And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm." Amen. Friends, the wind had no choice but to cease. The waves had no choice but to calm it down. Hey, by the time he said, "Peace, be still," by the time it was like, "Still," by the time it crossed his lips, boom, game over. This wasn't like, it wasn't like that. It's like a light switch. Boom, game over. That's our God. Amen. Our God's big. Well, glory. Man, I get excited about this. Well, in Matthew, you don't have to turn there. I'll just read it. The parallel count in chapter 8, verse 25. You can if you want to keep up. But anyway, verse 25 says, "And the disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish." Verse 26, "And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm." Everybody look up here. I believe we can learn from that. The only time the devil can get through to us with fear is when our faith is little. He said, "Why are ye fearful?" So they were fearful. Comma, same sentence, question, statement. "O ye of little faith." You see that? So the only time devil can get through to us with fear, it's when our faith is little. Folks, the storms of life, they try our faith. Sometimes they can shake our faith. I'm not being mean, I'm just, you know, just being real with you. That's how it happens. Okay? In Luke chapter 8, verse 23, it says, "But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy." That means you're in big trouble, Kemosabe. Okay? "And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, Where is your faith?" So from these three accounts, Matthew, Luke, and Mark, it paints a broader picture and kind of gives us some chronology. He's asleep on the back of the boat on a pillow. They run to him. The boat's full of water. Splash, 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 splash. "Master, Master, we perish. We're in jeopardy. We're due to the curse of my..." And anyway, I don't know if he like looks out with one eye or opens both eyes and maybe sets up on the bench and he says, "O ye of little faith, why are you so fearful?" It's very clear in Matthew, it says, "And then he arose and said, Peace be still." So notice, he had no urgency about him. And he's in complete control. So while the boat's still going, you know, splash, 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 and he hears his disciples, and he looks at them, he sets up on there as they're doing their thing in the boat, and he says, "Why are you so fearful? O ye of little faith. Peace be still. Luke 8. Where's your faith? See the chronology? Back to our text in Mark 4, verse 40. Look at it. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Could it be because they're acting like they had none? I'm just asking. When I was preparing for this message, I don't know why I did it, but I'm glad I did because I found a nugget. But in verse 40, I looked the word faithful up. Okay? And that word faithful means fearful, timid, faithless. Isn't it interesting that the word in verse 40 for fearful means faithless? One guy said cowardly. Ouch. These are his men. Amen. Oh, ye of little faith, how is it that you have no faith? Where is your faith? So I believe if Jesus asked them, I believe that's a fair question. Where's your faith, Gillian? Where's your faith, Terry Danford? Where's your faith, missionaries? Amen. Wow. I know that we know the Word of God. Now, of course, there's things we still can learn every day. I get that. But this crowd in here, unless you're like brand spanking new, you have a good handle on the Word of God. One, your pastor's a great teacher. You guys have been grounded, okay? I know that. Okay, sure. And I'm assuming these missionaries, they know the Word of God too. Amen. Okay. So it's not our first rodeo. So what I like to say is, we might know the Word of God, but we do not believe the Word of God when we face the storms in our life and our boat's full of water and we're beginning to sink. That's when we hear phrases like, I believe, but what? There's no but after I believe. But I put one there before, have you? Well, you hear things like this. I believe, but this. I believe, but that. And what usually follows the but is some kind of circumstance that we believe is unique to our situation, that we're the first person of all the creation of 6,000 years that we found a circumstance that's outside the Word of God, and it just don't apply to us. No. The storm has rattled our faith, and our faith is little, and the fear's there now. That's why we say, but. With me? Just being honest here. Okay, now. How many remember the possessed man that brought, no, I mean the possessed son that the daddy brought him to Jesus? Okay. In Mark chapter 9, if we take time to run over there a few chapters, verse 33, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Finish it with me. Help thou mine unbelief. How many's known that? Hey, before we beat up on this daddy, can I submit to you that his boat was full? That from a child, this devil has tried to destroy this child. And his daddy is plumb wore out, saving his life. Many times this devil would throw him in the water to drown him, and the dad would have to rescue him. Many times this devil would fire, and the daddy would have to rescue him. This had gone on for years since he was but a child. He had went to the doctors, help him. He went to the scribes, they couldn't help him. He went to Jesus' men, and they couldn't help him. So he comes to Jesus, hopeless, desperate, his boat's full, he's sinking, one last-ditch effort, Lord, if thou can help us, if you believe, all things are possible. Oh, Lord, I believe. And with tears running out of his eyes and dripping off his cheeks, he says, help thou mine unbelief. Been there? Amen? He was losing hope. So see, there's a difference then between learning the truth and living the truth. So you ask, hey, Brother Dan, where's your faith? Do you trust God? Do you trust yourself? Or do you trust your circumstances? And when you go to Bible college, the right answer is, we trust God. And today has been pretty easy. It was warm out again. Hallelujah. Thank you. I was glad to get back out of the north. And the sun was shining. The birds were singing to me this morning. Well, at least I heard them. I don't know if it was for me or not, but I enjoyed it. Okay. And it's like, yeah, I trust God. So you're at the end of the month. All your bills are paid. You have 3/4 of a tank of fuel. You have food in the refrigerator. And you have $15 left in the bank. Think, praise God, this is a good month. Hallelujah. And then all of a sudden you get a bill in the mail for $50 you weren't expecting. Like, ah, where's the other $25 going to come from? Okay, so I'm the only one that ever stressed this, but I'm just saying. Amen? So most of the guys I know are wired like this because we're men. I got this. Yeah. I'm the man. I got it. Come on, man, we do that, don't we? Can I show you how we got it? We take one hand like this, one hand like this, we put them together and go, splash, 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 splash. Bailing our boat out. Here comes another wave. Splash! And it's back full and right. Oh, come on, at least give me a head start. Do you realize that sometimes God allows us to go through that kind of storm that's bigger than we are to show us we don't got it? Huh? Amen? So we don't trust our circumstances. So we don't trust ourselves, that we learn to trust Him. And He's not worried about it. He's asleep in the boat. Totally under control. Amen. You see, why are you doing this? Here's my thought for tonight. The last 2 years have been crazy. We've taken on water. How many feel like we've taken on water in the last 2 years? 5 of us, okay. All right, here's a very interesting thought. Stay with me. The boat, the disciples, the full, splash, 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 time out, freeze, rewind. Okay, slow motion. Master, we perish. Carest thou not? Time out. I don't want to put words in the Lord's mouth, so kind of play with me here with imagination. He sets up and he looks at them and he does say, why are you so fearful? Oh, you have little faith. He does say that. All right. When a boat's full of water, what did you say it does? Sinks. Did anybody read in this passage where this boat sank? Did anybody read in these passages where it even began to sink? No, we did not. I agreed with you. I thought it would sink. I can't verify this. I just heard it, okay? So I'm going to repeat it. Take it for what it's worth. The Titanic, anybody ever heard of that boat? Began to sink when it took on 30% water. So what are you saying? It's 70% empty. So in other words, the boat begins to sink long before it's full. Agreed? So these men, with a boat full of water, splash, 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 master, master, and he looks at them and he's like, why are you so fearful? Here's the part where I'm playing now. How'd you get over here, Peter? Well, I walked over in a boat full of water. You're missing something here, Peter. The boat may be full, but it's not sinking. They were so caught up in the storm that they missed the sustaining grace of God holding them up in miracle-like fashion so they could run through a boat full of water that wasn't sinking to accuse Him He didn't care. No wonder He rebuked them. Church, we may be taking on some water, and I don't want to be a doomsayer because I like to be positive, but quite frankly, our horizon, it does look a little dark. And for this thing's over, I'm guessing we're going to take on a whole lot more water. But one thing's for sure, we're going to make it to the other shore. Amen. How? By the sustaining grace of God. Amen. In fact, in Luke 8:26 says, and they arrived at the country. Amen. With the command comes the enabling. That's how this ties in. Yes, the world's crazy. It's a political mess. The pandemic, all the junk that's out there. And it gets us scared. But wait a minute. Wait a minute. God's sustaining grace is going to see us through. He promised He won't forsake us. He promised He won't leave us. He hasn't revoked the Great Commission. He told us to go win the world. And in the midst of it, and the waters up to our waist, rather than thinking He don't care, we can think, woo, look at us, man. We're walking around in a boat you can't see. Let's go tell the other one. Let's just keep giving our missions. Let's just keep on trusting them that God's going to float their boat out there too. Amen? Yes. Folks, don't we all need encouragement sometimes? Now, we all know this. This isn't new. I didn't preach anything new. It was a reminder. Like Brother Peter said, to stir up our remembrance that God's in control. And it's His sustaining grace that's going to enable us to follow His command. God, how much you want me to give? What? I can't give, Lord. Do you see the prices? You know what it costs me to go to McDonald's now? It's cheaper to go to a restaurant. And you know what I spend at Walmart? Do you know I used to get 2 grocery sacks that I only get a half a sack now for the same amount? And you want me to get more to missions? Your boat's not sinking. Amen? It's not sinking. Hey, I don't know how He's going to do it. He's God. He fed Elijah. Amen. So I give you the title of the message now. Our God is big. Amen. So we can't stop right here. We have to read the last verse. Okay, verse 41. Here we go. This is number 4. The disciples readjusted their fear. Look at verse 41. And they feared exceedingly. Time out, look at me. In verse 40, they were fearful. Verse 41, they feared exceedingly. Exceedingly fearful. Exceeding fearful. Get the idea? You know what they did? They readjusted their fear. They went from fearing their circumstances to fearing Jesus. Amen? Yeah, they did. Okay, let's read the rest of the verse. And they feared exceedingly. Oh, by the way, verse 41, I looked up the word fear because I looked up the word in verse 40 and just wanted to see if it's different. It is. You know what the one in verse 41 is? It's that phobio, which means fear, awe, reverence. Church, did you realize that's the same words that are used for worship? Yeah. Place. We're going to perish. Don't you care? How'd you get over here? Walk in a boat full of water? Because of my grace? Peace be still. And because it deals with worship and all, worship's a bow, kneel, and prostrate yourself on the ground in adoration. So I picture them splash down on their knees. The water's up to their chin. And they're going, wow! Our God's big! He's bigger than we thought it was! What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea, I can pay Him! Amen? Isaiah 57:15 says, for thus saith the high and lifted, a lofty one, that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. Inhabiteth eternity. That's the present tense, inhabiteth. That means right now. Right now, God's still over here in the beginning where He says, let there be light. He's still there. God's also, right now, tonight, at the edge of eternity, ready to step into eternity future. He's there waiting on us to catch up. And the Bible says very plainly that the Lord is a very present help in time of trouble. Are we not in a time of trouble? He's a very present help. Our God's so big, you can't squish Him into 24 hours. Amen. Amen. So we can follow His commands. Because His Spirit enables us to do so. You can go to the mission field at 56 and make a difference for Christ. Because it's not you. It's the Holy Ghost using you. Give me fire. Don't you get excited about this stuff? It's like, man, that's good. Wow. Well, stay faithful. It's crazy, I know. Stay faithful in church attendance. I'm grateful for the cyberland. But if you want to have church, you have to assemble. It's what the Word means. Stay faithful to your Bible reading. Stay faithful to your praying. Stay faithful to your witnessing. Amen. Stay faithful to your tithes and offerings. And stay faithful to your faith promise. Lord, by Your grace, not my circumstances, what do You want me to give this year for missions? Let's all stand, please, for our heads bowed and our eyes closed.